Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome to 101.9 High FM. It is 9 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us on what I hope will be a quite an informative morning, or sorry, quite an informative afternoon. It's 12 o'clock. Just to go through many of the outstanding issues that a lot of you have asked during the last couple of months, more specifically in the last couple of weeks. And as we wind down to the end of the year, I want to preface it by saying that by the time most South Africans get to the end of November, early December, whether you have kids in university or writing the exams and they come to an end towards the end of November, or kids in high school and they finished writing exams early December, or you're working to deadlines at work, by the time that holiday comes, or the time that you close, or the time that you go and leave, most South Africans are absolutely physically and emotionally exhausted. I know that in other parts of the world, South Africans are criticized for always going on a holiday. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that makes South Africans the people they are and allows them just to recharge on a regular basis rather than constantly being uptight and irritable. But be it as it may, when it comes to the end of the year, people are tired. And why have I prefaced the show with that opening? Simply because it's the time that things unfortunately get neglected that should really be taken care of. And here I'm talking most specifically about short-term insurance. If you're going away, you're most probably going to be going away in one of your most expensive assets, your motor vehicle. You might be towing a trailer. You might be towing a caravan. You're leaving behind, assumably, your most expensive asset, your home, with everything that's inside it, which has huge amount of monetary value, but even more importantly, it has emotional value. It has value that cannot be replaced. And therefore, short-term insurance is really important to take care of. The other thing that happens is we go away. It's the rainy season up in the Haarveld, and there are a lot of storms. Electricity tends to trip. Your pull motor tends to go off. Your gate motor can get struck. And all of a sudden, you just expect insurance to take care of a lot of these things, and they're not necessarily are covered by your insurance. So yes, if you've just got that uncomfortable feeling, stop for 1 minute and listen. The first thing you need to do is know who to call, not when something happens, but now. Call either your broker who's been dealing with your short term, or your direct insurance company, if you're dealing with one of those, and make sure that everything is explained to you in simple English, number one. Number two, you want to see it on a piece of paper. So if your cell phone 15 is covered, your iPhone 15, you want to see that it's covered. And please make sure, we'll go through those details, that the right cell phone is there. So what I'm going to do now is run through a typical short-term schedule and highlight the issues that people need to look at. Okay, so the first thing is to make sure that your policy is in force. I can see the smiles, I can hear the giggle, but I can also hear the cringe of some people. Make sure that you've paid for your policy. Not paying for it, allowing it to bounce, not making a plan for it to be re-debited means that you're not covered. And the story of turning around and saying, I've been with you for 25 years, and no one's interested in your stories. You pay for your cover, you have cover. You don't pay for your cover, you don't have cover. I mean, often think of it as a ridiculous excuse. You decide now, I'm not going to breathe for 2 minutes. Well, I've been breathing for 50 years, so for 2 minutes, I won't breathe. Don't breathe for 2 minutes, you're dead. You don't pay your premium, you don't have cover. Unless you make a plan up front, or unless you do something to rectify it. That's the first thing. The next thing is, let's look at the different segments within your cover. The first segment we'll look at is your car cover for your motor vehicles, your motorbikes, trailers, caravans. The next section we're going to look at is your household contents, stuff that's in your house. The next thing we're going to look at is your portable possessions, things that you carry around with you, cell phones, watches, glasses, things like that, golf clubs, firearms. And the last section we'll look at is your building contents, your house itself. Right, let's look at the car. The first thing we need to look at is, please just make sure that on your policy, you have your car description correct. If you're driving a 2018 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, there are about 15 different C-Classes in 2020, in 2018, I mean. Please make sure you got the right one. Then for all cars, when it says registration, if it says TBA next to it, that means to be advised. You didn't know it at the time, you didn't remember it, or you didn't have one because you were insuring the vehicle before just standing in front of you. Please make sure you have the right registration in. Number two, make sure you have the right VIN number in and you have the right engine number in. There's different places on the car you can find that. The easiest place is on your license paper. So please make sure those are all there. Take a few minutes and do it. If you want to save time, take a photo of the disc on your windows. Also, please make sure that your disc is up to date. An expired disc is a problem when it comes to insurance. Take the photos. When you call your broker or your insurer, you've got all the information in front of you. That's the one thing. The other thing is car hire. A lot of people automatically have car hire built into their insurance policies. It's usually for 30 days. I can tell you now from experience, 30 days is not enough. Parts are a problem. Getting them into the country is a problem. Shipping is a problem. There's a lot going on in the world at the moment. Please pay a few extra bucks and extend that to 60 days. Also, remember, the car hire doesn't match the car that you insure. So if you're insuring a 2022 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, you're not going to get that car as a car hire. You're going to get an entry-level car. If you want to upgrade it upfront on your policy. The next thing is, when it comes to your car, please ensure that you have two things specified. Some companies might not require it, but I think most do. Number one is smash and grab. We all have smash and grab on our cars. You can't buy a car today that doesn't really have smash and grab on it. But when it comes to replacing that window, they're going to replace it with a window without smash and grab if you haven't asked for it. And if you haven't specified, you're going to be charged for it. So it's literally a few rand. Get smash and grab, make sure it's on your windows. And the other things, make sure that if there's anything for tires or rims or anything like that, that you've specified it on the policy. So there's a special tire and rim section that you can add in. A note to self, because it's happened recently to a client of mine. Bought a brand new Ford Bucky, looked at it on the showroom floor and decided didn't like the tires, didn't like the rims. Drove straight to Tiger Wheel and Tire, changed them, then had an accident. So now we need to replace a rim or two. And we look at it and said, but you didn't specify the rims. Said, yeah, but this is the rims the car came with. And we said, no, that's not the rims the car came with. Comes out that he had replaced them. In the excitement of getting a new car and going to get it done, he had forgotten to tell us, and it became a major issue. So if you replace the standard rims and the standard tires, please let your insurer know. Right. Then the other thing is excess. Please be aware of what your excess is. A lot of, especially direct insurers, I've seen very high excesses. I'm talking 14,000, 20,000, because what that does is it pushes your premiums down. 20,000 rand to pay after your car's been in an accident and you've had to pay extended for car hire, etc., etc. It's a lot of money to pay. Always look at what the premium would be with no excess, which allows you to get your dings and things like that repaired. and what a modest excess, 3.5, 4.5 would be. Make sure you know what your excess is. Remember, there's three different excesses. You can get an excess on normal motor, just on general stuff. You can get an excess on windscreen and glass, and you can also get a excess on a extra warranty if you take it out on your insurance. So please make sure that you know about all those three different excesses, and that you're aware of them. They'll be standard, they'll be there, and you won't really have to worry about it. The next thing I want to just mention before we go to the break is towing. If you're towing with your vehicle, and I don't care if it's a bucky and it's built to tow, and that's what the adverts say, you need to tell the insurer that you are towing with that vehicle. Some of them might not require that you let them know, but you don't want to be at the one that did require it and you didn't say what it is. So please just let them know and you won't have a hassle. So let's quickly run to a break. When we come back, and the last thing I want to mention on the vehicles is tires. Craig, take us to the shops. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Right. The last thing I want to mention on short-term insurance is tires. This is something that we see so often. Please make sure that your tires are legal. And there are two things to know. Number one, you need to have tread. It's the first thing any assessor will do is take that funny little thing out of his or her pocket and put it on your tire and check the tread on all four tires. Number two is an expiry date on your tires. Yes, I can hear you laughing. It's not a piece of cheese, doesn't expire. Tires expire. Depending on the make, depending on the model, it's an average of about 5 years. Why? Because of the wear and tear. So even if you're, the proverbial granny who just drive to the shops and back, or is driven to the shops and back, the tire will wear and it'll no longer be roadworthy. It'll develop cracks and it'll be compromised on its integrity. And therefore, please get it checked. Take it down to your nearest expert and get it checked. At the same time, please check your spare tire. Check that it's pumped. Check that it's air in it. The stories have come out of a perfectly good spare tire that has never been checked in 5 years and it was flat. Well, of course it was flat. You didn't check it. Check it. In fact, maybe get into the habit that every time you get your tires checked, once a month when you fill up it, if you do oil, water, and tires once a month at the beginning of the month, give the youngster, the chap at the garage, sorry, who's helping you, an extra couple of bucks and ask him to crawl under the car and check your spare tire pressure. Your tools. Make sure that all your tools are there. Make sure that if you do have a flat, you are able to change it or somebody else is able to change it for you. There's nothing worse than getting there. You don't have a spanner or you don't have the right connection. Make sure that everything is there. And again, if you're checking your tires and you're taking it to the right place, somebody will check it for you. And then you've got absolute complete peace of mind. While you're there, ask them to please check your windscreen wipers. They're cheap, they're quick, they're easy to replace. But you drive through a half-hour thunderstorm without fully functioning wipers, it's an absolute nightmare, and you can damage the glass on your windows. So those is what it's important when it comes to your vehicle. The next thing we're going to look at is your household contents. Right, let's use general broad terms to make sure that we explain things in a very simple and succinct way. What is considered household content? If you could proverbially pick up your house like you could pick up a doll's house, shake it around, whatever falls out or rattles around inside is considered content. Whatever remains bolted to the ceiling, to the floor, to the kitchen counter, to the walls, is considered a fixture. So if you have a beautiful big mirror when you walk into your house, if I could lift it off the wall with a bit of help, it's not a fixture, it's a content, and it needs to be insured separately. Today, to have R1 million worth of content in your house is not unseen. If you take into consideration, if you had to replace everything in your kitchen, Crockery, cutlery. Those of you keep kosher, you know what I'm talking about. Appliances, your coffee machine, your water machine, your dining room table, your lounge suite. Yes, a 20-year-old, but you have to replace it today. Who cares what you paid for it? Everything in your sideboard. Books. Books are a really big concern. If you're in the religious Jewish community, you'll know what I'm talking about. Books are an integral part of one's life. You collect them over years. You don't see them as having a huge amount of value in the way we open them sometimes and we see, Kollel bookshop with an address in Yeovil for 14 rand. And we think like, wow, how did I spend 14 rand on this? To buy the same book today is 300 rand. So that's something that you're going to take into consideration. Candlesticks. Your candlesticks were maybe bought when you got married, thank God, 25, 30, 40 years ago. You need to replace them. What's the replacement value? Your bedroom, beds, sheeting. Go into your cupboard, clothing, suits. What does the suit cost? You might have four or five. Two might be old. Three you might wear regularly. Shoes. Might have not have a lot of pair of shoes, but a good pair of shoes is going to cost you 2,000 to 2,500 rand. Three, four, five pairs, you're over 10,000 rand. Those are the things to bear in mind. One of the saddest stories I ever had was sports equipment. A client in Centurion went out for an afternoon. A removal truck reversed through their outside gate and through the garage door, smashed it to smithereens. Load their motorcycles onto it, but took all the riding equipment. And now came, as we say in Afrikaans, the snot en trane. Now everybody was besides themselves because the helmet that they had bought for 1,000 rand 15 years ago was 20,000 rand now. And the leather jacket that they got from a friend as a gift or inherited or something was another 25,000 rand with all the metal pieces to replace. To replace the equipment came to over 200,000 rand. They insured the contents for 350,000. Now you explain to assessor how you got that so wrong. So please take the time and just make sure that things are done correctly. Because under insurance or over insurance is a major problem. And I know he's looking at me with dagger eyes saying, where on earth am I going to find the time? Tonight. You're going to go onto the internet, find a template for a inventory. You're going to take that inventory. You're going to walk around the house with your spouse, and you're going to fill it in. And you might go on the internet to. You can go to Morkles, or you can go to the other extreme of the. I don't know, Hartmann and Kepler. Find the cost of what it's going to be to replace your stuff, and make sure you've got your stuff insured at the correct value. The truth is, to go up isn't incremental. So to increase your cover, you might be surprised that it's not that more expensive. One line item that you're going to be asked on your contents is, do you have an armed response with an alarm? Do you have burglar bars? And do you have electric fencing? What you had, no one cares about. What you have is what's important. If you have electric fencing, then it looks like it came out of the Second World War. You don't have electric fencing. You have a reddick on top of your walls. If you have electric fencing that looks good, but you know that the charger is not connected, you don't have electric fencing. Make sure it's operational. And the day or two before you go on holiday, test it. Number two, your alarm. If you've told the company that you have an armed response connected to alarm and you don't, you're not going to be covered in some cases. In fact, in most cases. The alarm is your secret to success. It doesn't need to be on when you are in the house. Now, in the South African context, one needs to be very careful of what that means. If you take a typical South African family, by 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, there's no one at home. Those of you who have a full-time help at home, the helper is around. The person who does the garden might be there. They come in and out the house as at will. If they're in the house and something happens, that's fine. But if they are in their living area and they are sleeping, or they have the TV on, and they don't hear something happening in the house, that is a major problem. So you've got to make sure that if they leave the house, they go to the shops, they go to their room, that the alarm is activated. Because the first thing the insurance company is going to do is download the report from the alarm on all the activations. If they see that it wasn't activated at that particular time, but it is regularly activated, then there's room for discussion. But if it's never activated, what's the point of having the thing? I hope you're getting the point that your alarm needs to be active and running and working. You don't need to have an alarm. You can tell the insurance company that you don't have an alarm. That's fine. But you need to be upfront about that. The other thing is burglar bars on opening windows, sliding gates on sliding doors and on all your front doors. Please, please, please check with your insurer that you need to have proper security on those things. If the answer is yes, so if you're one of those, for example, who don't want to have an alarm, or you have an alarm, you don't trust it, you don't use it, make sure that the burglar bar gate that you have locks, unlocks, you know how to work it, because the insurance company is looking for something called forced entry. If you've got burglar bars that are one of these from the 50s and 60s with the curly-twirly patterns on the windows, and it is known that a young kid with a little bit of Vaseline can get through there, you've got yourself a problem. Please ensure that these things are up to date. And I don't want to sit here and create panic and scare, but I also don't want to field the questions in December and January about why insurance companies are so unfair. They're taking the risk to insure you. The least we can do as clients is make sure that we come to the party with our little bits and pieces. So please make sure that that's done. Also, if you are one of those who don't want to let your insurance company know that your alarm response know that you're going away because you don't want anybody to know this, that, or other, please make sure the person who's coming in to either feed the dogs or feed the fish or house it or whatever it is very au fait with all the ins and outs and running and know how things work. Okay, that was contents. The next thing is portable items. Portable items is and has been a little bit of a no man's land for many people. They insure some stuff. They don't insure other stuff. They forget to update stuff. Let's run through it quickly and let you know what you need to do, what's absolutely crucial. So first of all, let's get the two big elephants in the room out of the way. Cell phones and everything related to them, iPads and all that sort of stuff, and laptops. They need to be insured. I don't care if they stay at home all the time, because if your cell phone stays at home all the time, well, I'm not quite sure why you have one, but if your laptop stays at home all the time, that's fine. Until it falls, or it hits a power surge, or a cup of coffee spills over it, then you've got a problem. If it gets stolen from the house, it should be covered under contents. But direct damage to it, it needs to be specified. If it's owned by your company, make sure that they've got it covered, please. Cell phones. I don't care that you've got a cell phone, iPhone 7 insured, and you're now already on 15 or 16. We're not going to pay you, or it's unlikely that you're going to get paid. You don't have the item insured. Please call your insurer and say, what phone do you have? Aha, this is my new phone. Turn it around, read the IMME number at the back, give it to them, or go onto general on your phone and find the details, take a screenshot and send it to them. So they've got all the details. And take whatever you don't have. If you've got four cell phones sitting in a drawer, they're worth nothing to you. Why are you insuring them? Either give them to charity or don't insure them. If you want to insure them, that's your wing dollar. that the phone that you're using, make sure is covered. Yourself, your spouse, your children, your domestic worker, whoever else's phones you've got there, make sure they are the right things. Someone just asked the question, and it's something that I get asked a lot, is that some insurers don't give you a value when they insure your phone. So I know, for example, with Discovery Insure, you've got a choice. Either you can say, I'm insuring my iPhone 15, 256 megs, and that's it. They will insure that phone. There won't be a value there. Should the phone be stolen, they will replace that phone or the closest to it. You could also put a value. The danger with putting a value is that if you don't increase it and regulate it, also manage it on an ongoing basis, in 5 years' time, you're going to get paid out 5 years ago value. And that might just be a very nice deposit on a new phone. So just look at those things, discuss it with your broker, and make sure that the value is up to date and on the right thing. The next thing is jewelry. Jewelry needs to be valued, and you need to have a valuation certificate for two reasons. Reason number one, to prove that it existed. I don't care if you've worn your Bobber's necklace for 50 years. That's irrelevant to the insurer. Did it exist? Yeah, but I wore to every wedding. You can see it in the photos. Oh, that's a bit of a long shot. Just give me a valuation certificate. The valuation certificate can be 30 years old. That's fine, because it's just telling me what's on it. But then you also need an updated value. So when you received your necklace from your Bobber 30 years ago, it was worth 5,000 rand, and today it's worth 200,000 rand. You need to have something to show that it was worth that. There are some jewelers, for example, that will send you an updated valuation certificate every year, but it is the onus on you to make sure that it's updated on a regular basis. The next thing is bicycles. Please make sure that the bicycles are insured. A lot of insurance companies have rather large excesses on them. Make sure that when you insure the bicycle, don't just insure the frame and the wheels and the components. What about your speedometer? If you change the saddle, if you've got cages for your water bottles, if you've got waterproof bottles that are insulated that are 200-300 rand a piece, just put all that on. If you've got a saddlebag, the saddlebag can be worth 300-500 rand with the contents. Make sure all that is included, either on the main value or described somewhere below that. Your saddlebag can fall off during a ride. It can get stolen at a race. So just make sure that all that is there when it comes to bicycles. When it comes to bicycles, the first thing you're going to be asked for was forced entry. If the bicycle was stolen off the back of your vehicle or off your roof, just showing an empty 2D frame doesn't count. They want to see where the lock was broken, where something was damaged to get it off. Please make sure you've got that. If your bike is kept in your garage, keep it locked, even though your garage is closed. Make sure you've got all that there. And then all the other contents, make sure that you've itemized them and you know what they are. Firearms, the right firearm, the right serial number, and it needs to be in an SABS approved safe.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. We're already out of time. So just to cover the last aspect, and that is building insurance. Building insurance is that which covers, as we say, the bricks and mortar. There are a few important things over here. Number one, a lot of people say, well, I've got a bond, I've automatically got insurance. Just make sure you've got insurance. It could be, but it might not be. Please make sure you've got insurance. The value of the insurance is absolutely crucial. If you bought your house 10 years ago for 2.5 million rand and it's still insured for 2.5 million rand, you've got a problem, because you're not insuring the market value, you're insuring the replacement value. So speak to people, hear the horror stories of one room burning down, a major geyser burst which destroyed a room or two or a lounge or dining room, and all of a sudden you get a few cents in the rand to cover the damage because you haven't increased the value of your property. It's not a sentimental value. It's a building cost times the square meterage of your house, including demolition and clearance. I was taking all the stuff away. That's what your house needs to be insured for. If you've got motors, you need to make sure that your gate motor, your pool motor, all that is covered, and it should be covered automatically. There's often a proviso that you need to have the right electrical connections in the house, power surges and things like that. Right, I feel bad that I've gone through all those negative things, but I hope I've just jarred something in your memory. I know I haven't touched on absolutely everything, but it was really important to mention that because these are the things that are going to come back to bite you. Just to wish everybody a really great holiday. I hope you all have a safe and a peaceful holiday. If you're celebrating any religious holidays of that time, I hope you have a meaningful time. Craig, as always, thank you for pushing the buttons. Thank you for listening. We will speak to you next week.